Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., and I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And again, speaking to you from the studio of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And we will, if I can bring on, excuse me just for a second, I'm trying to get all of my instruments to work here. So again, brothers and sisters, speaking to you live from the studio, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And now I am bringing on my co-host.
Greetings, and assalamu alaikum, my brother Bilal.
Alaikum salam. How you doing, brother Aziz?
Oh, alhamdulillah. Doing well. Looking forward to our show tonight, brother. There's a lot going on out there in the business world, as well as in around us. Period. Now.
Yes. Again, welcome to the show, Brother Aziz. Tonight we're
Thank
going
you.
To continue to talk about the power of the black dollar and how we can invest in our communities locally, nationally, and there were many, many opportunities to invest internationally. Several countries have been approaching several of our communities. Many of them are inviting African Americans to share in their economical growth and inviting African Americans to even become have dual citizenships with their countries, because they think we're being heavily invited, and many of them have come right here and they've spoken to us right here in our own communities about such investments. So we're going to continue our show tonight, and we're going to be talking about investing in our communities. And I am looking for a special presentation to be given to us by Brother Sam Harris. You know, they're the brothers that bought the buildings down in Selma, Alabama. And many of you already know about that history. So we're going to give our callers a chance to come on. And and then after we see the callers are coming on, we will bring on some interesting investment topics and opportunities. Because, brothers and sisters, these opportunities, we are not only must have to discuss, but we got to start doing something about the opportunities of buying businesses jointly. And the power of buying businesses jointly, the frightening thing about buying businesses jointly is that other communities, that's what they are doing. And I say other communities, there are many, many communities now, and they're coming directly into the African-American community because that's the most economical communities to buy properties, because the African-Americans, we're finding that we don't even own our properties in our own communities. Most of us are still about the business of renting. And business ownership or property ownership, I find it to be very frightening because I know for a fact, I've seen it with my own eyes, how other communities, and I say other communities because you don't know what these communities are. We used to say they're Hispanic communities, white communities, this community or that community, but look like the entire, I wouldn't say the entire world, but the immigrants that are coming into our country, they're buying up properties and they're not using. And just like we've been saying, you can see an example of what we've been saying all along. Banks, we don't need the banks. They're not using the banks. They're coming in and they're like and seeing a property, and if a property costs $1 million, no problem. They can come in and they can put their groups together and buy properties. Just almost said just like that, but it is almost just that simple. Their buying powers and their buying powers is not bigger than ours. They're just doing it, where we, for some reason, are not coming together and pooling our dollar bills together and buying our own communities and not having to use the banks, for instance. So the same thing, if we see properties whatever the figure might be, we as African Americans, we need to take this situation of buying businesses and being in businesses. We need to start taking it very serious. But in any case, I am not going to take up to a lot of time generalizing, because I know tonight we want to be sort of real serious, and we're going to bring in those that are experts and that can help us in achieving this. So, Brother Aziz, I am going to, like always, give you your opportunities to generalize, but I see our mics are coming up. Our callers are calling right in, so we want to get to them as soon as possible. But welcome to the show, Brother Aziz, and I'll welcome your comments, and then we'll open our mics up. Our first presenter we're going to be speaking to is going to be Sam Harris. Brother Aziz, right after you make your general comments, just bring Sam right on in.
Okay, I was just going to really wanted to point out that the USDA, for any of our listeners that are living out in rural areas, the USDA is giving loans out to help home buyers as well as land buyers that are living out in rural areas. So if any of our listeners are planning to live out in the rural area or are living in the rural area and they want to get some financing for improvement on the land or whatever, or buying some, the USDA, you have to go to the USDA.gov. And it's at that site where you can get the information on what the government is actually offering, you know, the opportunity that they're offering there or assistance that they're offering there. But moreover, Brother Bilal, I was just noticing that the prices in our fuel is going up because of Saudi Arabia cutting their output, and it's just driving things to the point to where we're in. Once again, it's messing with the employment and job market for people in that, and it's opportunity there in our community now for people to pull together and form businesses as groups, because this is what we need now to be come together in a hard time, because it looks like the way the world picture is going now, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. As you see today, the Washington area isn't bad as New York or Philly yet, but we do have a lot of smoke in the area now from the fires up in Canada. And it's a health hazard to some of our seniors that perhaps may have respiratory problems. But I didn't want to hold anything up much, Brother Bilal, because of the fact of our guests that we have coming on tonight, one behind the other. So if Mr. Sam Harris is on, Brother Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you to hear what you have to tell us about the opportunities that exist out there, brother.
All right. Good to hear your voice, Brother Azeem, Brother Wild Bynum, thank you so much. And to everyone that's listening, there's an opportunity for us as a community to really do some amazing things. So I want to thank you for allowing me on the platform. And we've been very busy doing different things, not only in Selma, but in the South region, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. And right now there's an opportunity for us to acquisition more properties in Selma that will make our development even bigger. The challenge that we have, Brother Bonham, is the other groups are coming in, raising capital literally overnight to do $5, $10 million projects in downtown Selma. As an independent brokerage, we've made the community aware of the opportunity of Selma. It's been now almost 3 years that we have been buying properties there and starting our project, but we're being outspent by groups that don't look like us because they have the ability to come together and raise money and buy entire blocks. And so I'm on tonight at the top of Brother Bonham to explain to the community that we need your help, and we don't need your help freely. There will be an opportunity for you to get a good return on your capital that you may have sitting in a bank or, you know, somewhere that is not being utilized, and we will be able to provide a good rate of return on that. So here's our ask. We're trying to raise $500,000 in the next 7 days in order to buy some key pieces of property in Selma. For most of you, if you haven't been paying attention, Selma was hit by a tornado on E2, E3 tornado that went right downtown Selma, wiping out entire neighborhood. So for the people that were living there, it's devastation. It was devastating to see some of the historical buildings leveled. Entire blocks were leveled. But it's also created opportunities for a developer like ourselves to come in, buy large parcels of property, and rebuild either those shopping centers, but in order to do that, you have to buy these properties outright cash. There is no financing that you can do. You have to have the cash to do it because they're going to sell it to the person that's going to close now. And what's happening is other groups that do not look like us are coming in, buying up entire city blocks that were leveled on January 12th from the tornado at pennies on the dollar. And they're getting government grants to back it up. They're getting subsidies. Because when you can show that you own the land, Brother Beast was just saying about USDA, well, if you buy a large piece of property, you can back up.
Brother Sam?
Yeah.
Yes. Been interfering. I don't know where it's coming from. You're sort of breaking up.
All right. Hold on a second.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, it is better.
I was on the road, so I'll just start over. Is that much better?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, no problem. So the USDA will work with developers to provide additional capital, but you can't get access to that unless you own the properties outright. In order to do that, you have to go to the community and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We need X dollar amount in this number of days. For those that are interested, we only need about 30 to 40 people to say, hey, I got 15,000, 10,000, 20,000 that I can put forward on this. It will be a debt that we will have to pay back to the investor, and they will get a good return on that capital. Now, I can't talk about what the returns will be on over the airways, but if there's anyone that's interested in putting your money to work to get a good return on it, we can set up a private Zoom meeting so that you can hear about what we're doing. We can actually show you the properties. And then if we agree to where you can put the capital to work, it will be leveraged against properties that we currently already own. So if anything happened, you have the way to be able to take recourse, because we want to build a community. At the same time, we want to build a relationship with those individuals that have capital sitting aside that are not getting a good return on it, and we want to help you grow your wealth. And the best way to do that is putting your money to work in good real estate projects that can give you a good return on your money.
All right.
So that's what I'm bringing to the table. I'm open for any questions. I just want to keep it simple. But there's an abundance of opportunity out here. But in order to take advantage of it, we have to have the ability to come to the community and say, we need your help. Put your money behind what we're doing. And as I've stated before, Selma is the blueprint. If we can get it right there, we can go to D.C., we can go to Tulsa, we can go to Elizabeth. But Selma is the attention right now, because after the tornado hit, every delegation from Congress, the Senate, from the Vice President's office, from the President's office, have been there. They're doing things that I've never seen happen for Selma before. If we as a community don't make sure that we own some of those key pieces of property, 2 to 5 years from now, Selma's going to be one of those places, wow, I wish I would have invested. But you heard it here first on the Black Belt Wall Street, the place and the greatest opportunity for you to put your capital work that we believe from the research is Selma, Alabama.
Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. I open the mics up to everybody so we can all have a discussion on this proposal. So our mics are open. Anyone who, if you can hear me, we'll be able to hear you. So if you have any questions or anything about the proposal, the proposals that is being offered in the development of Selma, Alabama, let me just say, Brother Sam and have been working with us now for over a couple of years. We know for a fact they have already put up over way over $1 million. They've already purchased buildings down there, but but the opportunities. I'll let him tell you about those opportunities. But again, any questions that you have or comments you may have about Sam's proposal, our mics are open, and you can ask Brother Sam anything you wish to ask him at this moment. Our mics are open. We welcome your questions. We welcome your proposals also.
Good evening, Brother Sam. This is Aisha Abdul Ali. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Good evening, sister.
I have a question. Although you cannot discuss, and it's wise that you don't discuss your business proposal over the air, but in a private session, have you all set a date that you can invite people to come to that session? It might not be a large if I wanted to come in and see your business proposal, can you send me a link to a Zoom meeting or that you all have already scheduled to invite people to?
Yes, ma'am. So we do have a Zoom meeting set up for Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we can get that link out to Brother Bynum so he can send it to the people in the network. Or you can, you know, send a direct email to Brother Aziz, and he can make sure that I get that information and invite you to the Zoom opportunity meeting.
Now, this is Friday the 9th?
Friday the 9th.
The
9th? June 9th, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Sam, you don't want to give your email or anything directly to you?
So I can do that, but if we can get the number of people, so my direct email is sam@samgen.com. That's S-A-M-J-E-N, realty.com. But I think if we keep it congruent to where we can get as many other people that are listening to, you know, Black Belt Wall Street participating, this will be just particularly for this group. But we have other sessions set up, but it's for other groups that we set up with to do. So we want to be able to work through the New Africa Black Wall Street and to get as many people that have capital just sitting so that they can put it to work and get a good return on that capital. And right now, if you're looking at where we're at in the United States, if you're looking to preserve your capital, grow your capital, the best places to put it are the places that no one is paying attention to. You know, on the TV media news, they're not talking about Selma, Alabama on the TV. But they will be in 2 to 3 years. They're going to be talking about it's the place to be. Right now, Huntsville, Montgomery, Birmingham, the real estate and development projects there are on fire. You can't even get places. They're sold out. People are on waiting lists. So what's happening is pushing people to these smaller communities. And those smaller communities are having to build the infrastructure because some of these smaller communities got hit by storms or they didn't have the governmental assistance in place. But because of the emphasis of the last 3 years, we're seeing more capital being poured to those areas. Unfortunately, if you're an African-American developer, you're not getting any of that money because you don't have those relationships in place to capitalize on it. And that's why we're on this platform, is to come to the community and say, look, help us get to the point where we no longer have to have a call and say, look, we need an emergency meeting to raise capital, buy a piece of property that will not only make a good return for us as a developer, but for anyone that put capital forward, you're going to make a good return on your capital. But we don't have the networks that they have. So it doesn't matter how great we build, doesn't matter how long we've been doing it, how many licenses we have. It matters about how strong your network is and how deep their pockets are. And they have the resources. I was talking with Brother Bynum yesterday. There's a group out of Washington State that knows nothing about Selma, Alabama. Someone called them and says, hey, there's an opportunity for you to buy this building. They bought the building sight unseen. They didn't even visit the building. They closed in 2 days. $650,000. The next day they put a big sign up on the building, coming soon, a $4.5 million development. How many African American developers do you know can just do that? And the only way that we're going to be able to compete is that we have to come to individuals within our community that have capital sitting in banks or maybe in a shoebox or in a wall somewhere that's not working for them. They're getting very little return on it. But this is not only about you being able to get capital and get a return on it, but it's also helping move forward the needle for the community, because the next generation needs to have something that they can have ownership in. But if we don't start controlling those key pieces of real estate in cities that we live in, it's going to be very hard for us to compete within a new system that's being developed. Right now, we're going into the Industrial Revolution 4.0. Once we start getting more robots, more AI involved into society, the people that are going to do well are going to be those that own things. Because if you're not owning and producing, it will be hard for you to compete. So we need everyone that is listening. If you're looking to do something with, it doesn't matter if it's 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. At this point, we need to get the capital done, and we need to be able to really secure this property before someone else does. You know, so we have an agreement, you know, with the landowner. They want to sell it to us. We got a timeline in order to do it. If we don't do it, they're going to put it on the market, and one of those other groups are going to come and buy the property. And here we go again. We'll miss out on this opportunity to make our development twice the size that it is right now because it's a property right next to a property that we own. So we've been waiting for the opportunity to acquire more properties, and it just happens that the person that owns the property next to our property has been there 120, his family's owned this property for 120 years. No African-Americans ever owned it. No other families ever owned it. For 120 years, they've owned this property. Well, he got a medical diagnosis, and he got to sell quick. That's the story. So sometimes in life, you're in front of opportunities, but in order to be able to capture them, you got to be able to execute quickly. And
right.
That's why I'm on this platform tonight, is that we need your help, or if it's someone you know's help, to help us execute this opportunity. Thank you for your question.
Brothers and sisters, so in that case, we would ask you to, if you're not on our email list, to send us your email so we can send you information on these investments, this particular investment, and you would send your emails to nabassc@gmail.com. I repeat, nabassc@gmail.com. And that would be the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. nabassc@gmail.com. Send us your email, and we will send you the information as to how to link into our investment meeting that would be private and personal for us. But see, brothers and sisters, we've been saying that for the last 8 years that we need to pool together, just like other communities. We need to pool together and make certain that we can secure our communities, because the communities that are being bought up is going to be the black communities. It's already happening. It's already happening. And I can see we got many, many area codes here. So wherever you're area code, wherever you're living, I know that you're realizing that your communities is being bought up by someone else other than African Americans. We must save our communities. And in the meantime, most of us, I don't see how you cannot come out being quite well on land development and new business development on these lands that we're developing. So again, our mics are open. We ask that we need your comments, but most of all, we need your participation, and we certainly need you to consider the investments, because, like you said, investment opportunities pop up, and we have to be ready as a community to use our power of our own black dollars in order to buy up and to grow as a community. So our mics
Absolutely.
Are open.
Absolutely.
We welcome
Good
your
evening.
Comments. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Joyce.
Hey, Sister Joyce.
I tell you the truth. This is just a wonder that you would have this program on tonight when Sister Stone, you know, Director Stone, had invited a lady. She had invited her to come on just to tell her story. But since you're having this discussion, this may help her a lot. Miss V, are you on here, Miss Decatur?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, but please take a moment to tell the brothers and sisters what you're experiencing, and maybe they can assist you.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn it over to see if you'll let me and let her tell her story.
Okay, can you hear me? It's what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, ma'am, we hear you well.
Okay.
Yes.
My name is V. Decatur, and I have a business. I have an organization who has taught black people how to tax and invest for the last 20 years, 30 years. We do two things. We redeem property. We teach the community not to sell, and we give them different strategies not to sell, even when they're in tax trouble. And then, of course, we teach black people how to invest in property. So what we do is we teach people how to do these things in order to combat gentrification. We need to do a better job of probating estates and leaving wills and that type of thing. But our government has made it easy for gentrification. And so a lot of laws are made in order to help them out. And the first one, for example, and it's gone from there, is even when Black Wall Street was destroyed and what happened immediately after that, even when they tell people, you know, told them, you know, that, you know, if you come back, the ones who were able to get away, if you come back, you're going to die. And so what happens is people don't come back. Now what do you do with the property that they own? Now what do you do? Because there's only two ways to convey title, and one is by heirship and one is by a deed. So if they weren't present, they couldn't deed it over to them. If they weren't present, their heirs could not sell it. So then laws start. Then they start making laws to support the dirt that they do. So now you got, that's when escheat of the state started. And then eminent domain, all this kind of stuff. So what I do is teach strategies. They're not telling us that when we lose property at auction, especially when there's that those investors getting to a bidding war, that those overages belong to us. No website is telling you that. So I have a podcast that informs the people of all of these things. We are busy trying to help save property here in Harris County and other states. I get so many phone calls to help from people, especially in the Carolinas. I mean, they're doing some horrible stuff right now to people in the Carolinas, but anywhere there's farmland. And the thing is, we have to use strategies, and it can be done. Right now in Harris County, just Harris County alone, there's over $13 million in overages, meaning that bidding war, you know, these investors getting to a bidding war, and then the overages. A property can be worth $120,000. The tax office can only collect owed to them, $20,000. There's already, that's $100,000 equity in their property just sitting in the tax master's account waiting 2 years for the owners not to redeem it so it can be sent to the attorney general. It's a system, and it's part of the system, you know, of oppression. I mean, you know, white people ask me all the time, why do you never talk about our history? I said, when I talk about ours, I'm talking about yours. Your history, this is your legacy. This is your history to build a system where the older people, and right now what I'm wholesaling property in order personally to redeem property back to seniors, veterans, and the infirm. But I'm training more people now how to do that to help the community. I may not be able to redeem but a couple of them a month, and I never wanted to deal with grants before. But the need is so great, and I have some people offering me money now. The best thing for me to do is just to go ahead and get legal with the nonprofit, I suppose, and go ahead and set up to do it. But the point is, there's certain strategies out there. In Texas and a lot of other tax deed states, there's a redemption period. So what I tell people is, if you've got your eye on a property and you don't have the money at that particular time to out to bid again, big corporations and people like that and neighborhoods, there's a two-year redemption period. Hold tight. All you got to pay in Texas is 25% the first year. Get your money together. Redeem that property for the owner. And then get it back into the owner's hand, and then buy it from the owner directly. Two things happen. When you buy property at auction, the owner can redeem it. If you buy the property directly from the owner, then there's no redemption period. There's a lot to this, but the podcast does help. It has helped a lot of people understand this. Friday night, I do have a webinar coming up at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and I want to let people understand the basics of tackling investing, some of the strategies. You know, I wish, like everyone else, that we had the money. We got to face facts. We cannot bid against these big corporations and these rich people who fly into this country. Can't speak a word of English, but can fly into this country and bid on property. But we have to forget there is recourse. There is a redemption period. When anyone purchased property at auction, it doesn't matter who they are, what kind of corporation it is, there's a two-year redemption period in Texas and other states like that. They don't own that property outright. The owner can still redeem it. The owner still has an interest in it. So, you know, I have to do title searches for people to make sure that they know whether somebody has, you know, we get a lot of forgeries all over the United States, memorandums on property, simply because they think, number one, that we can't afford lawyers, and number two, that we're too dumb to know what they've done. So I've knocked the bottom out of all of that. They're listening now. They're kind of running around. You know, every time I do a title report and give it back to the owner, and the owner says, man, wow, what do I do with this? I said, well, you know, your recourse is to take it to, every time they take it to the DA's office, then charges are filed. We got to get the word out. The only way to stop people from doing a lot of this stuff is to let them know what can happen. I do have attorneys on my team. I do have attorneys to volunteer. We've been silent and quiet for a lot of years, you know, in terms of, you know, you don't need to let people know what your name really is, especially when you're going behind them. For too many years, we didn't know. For too many years, we just were ignorant to the fact. And now we're being a little bit more rigorous about teaching our people the facts. We're training our people on how to invest. A lot of times we can buy and hold, but we can wholesale property and get the funds that we need to as a middleman. You do a couple of those deals, you got $100,000 real quick. You know, we're making $100,000 in 2 months around here, you know. And so, no, I do have a course, and no, it's not like the other courses. It's not like some five-figure course, because that's another thing. They're not teaching you tackling investing. They're teaching you basically nothing. In my course, I teach people how to do the title searches, how to find out who the owners are, how to determine if there's liens against it, IRS liens, you know, are hard to remove. Federal tax liens are hard to remove. Any other type of lien, I teach people how to remove it. And I do it for hardly much of anything, because the idea is I want people, my people, to know how to do it. Ms. Stone can tell you, every time somebody calls me, there's no fee when people call me for advice and help them out and give them the information, because I want them to get it. I also want them to be independent and do it on their own, and I need, and we get them to that point, my team and I. So I don't want to take up too much time. The webinar is Friday Central Standard Time at 7. It's $19. And I would love for people to listen to the podcast, though, because the podcast is going to help you understand this even more. It's going to help you understand that it's doable, that it is that all is not lost. We just have to know what the strategies are, because we have to know what the law is. I teach the laws to tackling investing. Once you understand the laws of tackling investing, then you can do this. Then you can stop property that's going on foreclosure list, buy directly from the owner. A lot of people There's heirs to this property. Yes, sir?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to, yes, ma'am, and the information you're sharing, but let me just say, Brother Sam, again, we both know that you and I both are certified financial planners. Me is a certified financial planner, and you and a real estate certified. Any comments or any that you like to make as to where we all come together collectively?
I definitely have comments, and Sister V, you know, thank you for, you know, sharing, you know, what you're doing. But here's the challenge that we have, is that we have to be able to create the atmosphere to where we're all working together. So like what you're talking about with those tax deeds, we're very familiar with those. We have access to all of those things. But it takes a long time for people to acquire those properties. What we're talking about is opportunities right before us, is that there are entire developments that are being built in communities outside of Tulsa, outside of Harris County in Houston, in North Carolina, in D.C., in Selma. And we're not participating in those developments. That's where the big money is at. And the reason why we're not capturing that is that we're not practicing group economics. Group economics says when you pool your resources together and you accomplish the build one development at a time, and you take the profits from that and you go do it again, and you duplicate that over and over. Dr. King said this. He says everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Everybody on this call can become a great investor because every one of you have capital that you can put to work. You can get your capital to serve for you instead of you serving for it. We need to get our capital serving for us as opposed to us serving for the capital. When we can do that as a community, not only will you see developments in Harris County taking advantage of those tax deeds and those opportunities that Sister V was talking about, but before we can get to that, we got to be able to say, okay, developer out of Selma, Alabama call or North Carolina just call, say they need $500,000. We need to be able to get within our own community where we can raise $500,000 in 5 days or less, or in 1 hour or less. We're spending that kind of money on other things.
Right.
But that's how we're going to be able to accomplish getting great things done to where we own and control the block. Because commercial real estate is where you're going to make so much more wealth versus residential. Residential is just a little bit of money. Because you put so much capital in, you got to put so much work.
I understand that. And I'm not here to discount anything of what you are doing. I was asked to come and explain what it is that I do because, yes, everybody does not have the opportunity to get involved in the big work that you all are doing. I'm not here to discount any of that. I'm here to just simply talk about, and it does not take a long time to do any of that. It's just that we're talking about commercial – you're talking about commercial property, which is has a higher price tag, which has a higher price tag. And so nothing is wrong with any of it. I'm here to just talk about what I do for the people who want to know about tax lien investing. That's why I'm here. Not to discount what anybody else is doing because people are getting in the position financially to say, okay, now I got 200 grand. Now I can go and join organizations such as yours. Everybody can't wake up in the morning to do that. They have to get there. And it does not take a lot of time. And if it does, it's on the person, not on the industry. The money is there. Again, I just said there's $13 million in overages in Harris County alone. The people just don't know. Some of these properties have over $3,000 in overages. That's just an example. So all of it is okay. But we're talking about two different things. And they both can apply. They both can work. You know, but I'm here to just talk. I was invited to just talk about what it is. If somebody's interested in learning how to, and has issues with property, has issues with they want to get their title straight so that they can sell it, You know, that's the service that we do. If you want to hold on to your property, not lose it, because we are talking about two different things. We both have two different businesses going on, but it can still work for the people.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on who needs
it. Absolutely. It can still work.
Absolutely.
It can still work for the people. And Sister V, just please don't get me wrong. Yeah, but Sister V, I know you were not on here to, you know, do any of that. I already know that. What I'm saying, us as African Americans, we have to get to a point where we can get on the same page, because the same thing that's happening in Harris County is happening in Hillsborough County. It's happening in Dallas County. It's happening all over the country for African Americans. I see it. What you're talking about. Excuse me?
Yes, sir. It does. It's all over. It's everywhere.
No.
Yeah, it's everywhere. But if we're going to do things that as a whole, that we as a group, because guess what? I'm not going to solve this problem in the next 20 years that we have. But I want to do my part. You're not going to solve the problem, but you're doing your part. But collectively, together, if we will work together, we can accomplish so much more than working apart. That's really what I'm talking about. Is I want to find individuals that want to work together and see things actually get done to where we can see the development, we can see the growth, we can see all the opportunities that we're missing right now because we're all doing different things.
Yeah. And let me just say also, Sister and Brother Harris and all of our listeners, we need, and I think you just said it, Brother Harris, and you're saying it also, Sister. You see, all of us are experts in our own field. And if we can bring those expertise together and bring it to, and I'm saying, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. If we could bring all of those expertise together, as far as any problems that we're going to have in our communities, as far as we don't know this or we don't know that, yes, one of us may not know this and one of us may not know this, but collectively, we're going to know the same thing that anyone else know. There is experts in our communities, and that can assist us with whatever challenge we may have. And in this case, we're saying that the African American have a large amount of capital, in which we do, as African Americans. We, as African Americans, we have more monies than any other black nation in the world. But as African Americans, our monies only stay in our communities for a period of around 4 hours before it goes into other communities and is dispersed in other communities. So by coming together collectively, that powerful dollar that we have, we can buy up the property, Sister, that you're talking about in your communities, the properties that Brother Harris is talking about in Selma, Alabama. I know properties here in Washington, D.C. is extremely valuable. But as African Americans, can we compete and can we collect on that value? So that's what I'm hoping that we can now do as an organization. Yes, we all are experts, and I respect. I mean, this sister, you're absolutely right, sister. When it comes to estate planning, when it comes to the probate administration, there is so much that African. As a matter of fact. I know for a fact from doing this for so many years now that in many parts of the country, African Americans don't even know what the word probate even means. They don't even know what a probate court or a probate administration They don't have attorneys and CPAs and real estate investors, certified public accountants and certified financial planners in many, many places in our communities. So a lot of communication, a lot of information is not given, but as an organization, we have that information. And as an organization, if we would all come together and work together, we can now solve each other's problems, whether it's financially, whether it's community growth. We can do anything we really want to do. Remember, we're spending, and this year's prediction is saying that we're going to spend more than $1.9 trillion in consumer. And so $1.9 trillion in consumer spending, how much of that money is coming into our communities? So, yes, our mics are open, and we want to hear, because it's discussions like this is going to hopefully bring us together as one unit. And once we can come together as one unit, yes, now we can get monies in North Carolina. We can get monies into any community that we want to, where we see that there's economic development, and we can take the advantage of that development, because we're pooling our monies together jointly. And I am on this line just like the rest of you, but I can say right now, if I can hear a business deal that can that I think that would be good for my investment, and would be good for the growth of my communities. And my communities don't have to be in Washington, D.C. My community is wherever I made my investments, North Carolina, Alabama. But I know all over this country, we as African Americans have very valuable properties, but at the same time, we're not our properties is not working for us, and others. I know for a fact, as we speak right now, because you see, when these immigrants come over here and they're here, they are pooling their monies together to buy whatever it is they decide they want to buy, whether it be private homes or whether it be business ventures. They're pooling their monies together, and they're buying it just like that. And and what communities are they buying up? They're buying up our communities. So we're on this
right
here. We're on the air tonight. And we're trying to say collectively, because like I said, and I can appreciate so many of us from so many different areas, because this is what it's going to take. It's going to take our entire nation to save our nation. But so in this case, a brother Harris is making a business proposal, but this is just, and this is a business proposal, and I can say, it's our maybe our first large proposal, but it's not our last. We look to do what we're proposing to do in Alabama. We're looking to do all over this country. It's just a matter of where we come together collectively and say, this is where we're going to concentrate our efforts. So again, our mics are open, sister. I welcome, because we need experts like yourself. So please don't feel as though there's any discouragement here. It's not.
Definitely not. Listen. It's all necessary. There is no way this is not important, because it's the foundation of black ownership. Keeping property that we already own. This is
yes.
The foundation of it all. And so, you know, our community can do more than one thing at a time. And it's great what you all are doing. But we save 10 properties a week. We're doing the good work also. We're saving, we save on average 10 properties a week to keep them from going to foreclosure. And that's the good work as well. We're just doing two different things, that's all. And that's okay too.
And how can we know about the wonderful efforts that you guys are doing? You see, this is what we all need to know so we can help, because it's not so much helping each other. Remember, these are business investments. And investments, we're looking for a return on our money. So we're talking about making money.
Exactly. I got you.
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Once you get property back into the hands of an owner and remove the government out of it, now the owner has the latitude, the flexibility to sell it outright to an end buyer. Now we got black people who own property now. You see what I'm saying? The owner of record is deceased. It's owned by heirs. They can't afford their taxes and branding. It's the same scenario. But I do have a webinar coming up Friday if people want to listen in. I have a podcast, The Tax Lien Strategist, on Apple or Spotify or Anchor. It gives a lot of free information. You know, anybody wants to get in touch with me after the fact, they can get in touch with me through Mr. Stone. I'll give them the information on the podcast and any other free information I have on my website. I'm invited to do a lot of speaking and we're doing the good work, we're saving the property, and that's what we're gonna have been doing, and that's what we're gonna continue to do. And we, like I said, and it's great what you all are doing. We all have a part to play.
And Cicely, if you would send us your information, we would also put out the information for your webinar and the time that you'll be having it, because I would love to listen in on your webinar. And anyone
I need an email. I don't know how to get you the flyer. It's a pay link. It's $19. But I would love to also get you to the podcast. That's going to tell you a lot. It's going to make sure that's what's going to determine if you want to listen Friday.
Again, you can send your information to New Africa by sending it to the NABASSC@gmail.com. We will put your information out there, and I can tell you your information, Sister Aisha, if you're still with us, you can give her some of the statistics as to where we'll be in here. And then we'll open our mics back up and continue our investment conversation. Sister Aisha, if you would give up those stats.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I paid my $19, and I will see you. I will see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope you all can hear me, and we look forward to getting your information. And it's very exciting information. We need to know that. And most of us, we consider ourselves expert in our fields, of which we are. But, however, there's so much more for us to learn. And perhaps Brother Sam and Sister, tell me again your first name.
It's B-E-E, last name Decatur.
Okay, I didn't get you broke up. What was that first name?
V-E-E.
Okay. We would like yes, I have the last name. We would certainly like to stay in touch, because I'm sure that we can find some way to network together. And Brother Sam, there are people up in Mississippi who are concerned about the same issue as you are and who want to take action. And many of them own quite a bit of land. And so perhaps we can put you all together, with the people up in Mississippi as well. And if you are amenable to that, I'll contact the people in Mississippi and see if they are amenable to it. And if so, put you all together. If you can do something.
Absolutely. I would like to just say one thing here. Just, you know, listening, I'm on a lot of investment calls and all this stuff. One of the things that we have is an ecosystem. Within the ecosystem, there are different parts. And those are those experts that we're talking about. Everybody has a role to play. As, for example, with Sister V, right now I've probably got about 30 people I know right now that need to talk to her that don't know how to do that, the probate or the tax lien stuff in Selma, Alabama, that their property has been in airship and been fighting for years. So when I say that each of us can get working together as a group, because within that group, that ecosystem creates opportunity for all of us. So from
Absolutely.
Every development that we do, I need a CPA, Sister Aisha, that needs to work on that plan for that business person. We need an architect. We need a title person. We need somebody that works in probate. We need a financial planner. Just about every transaction I do, I need all those people to do that. And if we have a team of people that we can go to that we create within New Africa, Black Belt Wall Street, we can say, look, we got somebody that can do that, to where we no longer have to go outside of our network to find someone to do those things. And I think as we get that part done, it's not about who's right or who's wrong. It's about us working together to where that ecosystem keeps turning. It keeps turning, creating new opportunities. So I'm encouraged from what I'm hearing. And if there's anything I can do to help anyone that's on this call, I most certainly will do it, because I'm going to stay in the lane that I know I'm good at. But at the same time, I know that I create opportunities for other people. But guess what? I don't know who to call for these things, because we don't know who's within the network that does what. If we knew everybody within New Africa Business, Black Belt Wall Street, that does different things, we would be able to say, hey, we got someone that can do that. We can plug them in to the network, to where it doesn't matter where they're at, they can get the service that they need, and it continues to allow us to grow, so that when investment opportunity does come, we got all the right people in place, like all the other groups operate.
Absolutely. Well, we're certainly going to see if we can do something about that. But, you know, one thing
and what
I
know
learned,
is that we need to hold on to our property so that we can have the generational wealth to invest and to work with the brother who just finished talking. We can't work with nothing. We have to have some type of those of us who don't have, those who don't have the money, you know, just sitting in an IRA or just something like that, that could invest from a call from a trusted person. You know, it has to be a trust, you know, who will invest with someone who they trust. They have to get in the position to do that, you see. So sometimes these things are, as he stated, you make a phone call and you're ready. Some of us have to get ready. I cannot forget those people who need their generational wealth back. I cannot forget why we lag so far behind. It's because they're using, the other folk using the generational wealth they stole from us to pad in their pocket to leave us where we are. And my goal is to get it back, get some semblance of order and wealth back to my people so that they can make these investments. I have a call with a group in North Carolina in like a few minutes. I can just say this. I can be reached at the Tax Lien Strategist at Gmail, but if you listen to the podcast, it's the Tax Lien Strategist on Apple or Spotify. It's going to help you out. And then I don't know how to get the information to you, sir, the gracious host. I will talk to Ms. Stone and get the email address from her. Get the flyer to you, so if anyone's interested, they can sign up. And I want to go ahead and, so we can get our people to talking about how we're going to get some of this money back that's in over, you know, and so we can get our properties off the foreclosure list so we can get us some, have our generational wealth. And I appreciate the opportunity. It's great talking to everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Our mics are still open, so anyone who have any questions or any proposals, especially about Selma, Alabama, because like I said, that's the investment that we're looking at right now. There, of course, from our meetings and from our discussions, there are going to be other investments in many, many other states, because as of tonight, we're talking about going proactive. Very proactive when it comes to business and building business. We've been talking about this now for 8 years. So after 8 years of business conversations and teaching and educating, like I said, we have the experts. New Africa Business Association, probate attorneys are the ones that helped to start this association. CPAs are the ones who helped to start this association. Certified public accountants are certified financial planners are the ones who helped to start this association. Certified real estate investors are the ones who helped to start this association. So this association was started by experts, and these experts are ready to serve all over this country. So again, you have the networks and you have the tools. The only thing you need to do is become a part and join the New Africa Business Association. You can do that by going to our website, and our website is New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. Look at our website, and then, of course, you'll see where you can go to for memberships. But going back now, our mics are still open. If you can hear us, we can hear us. We can hear you. Brothers and sisters, all of our mics are open, so we can saying that to say, of course, if we all start speaking at the same time, we won't get very far. But but the mics are open as to where if you're ready to speak, join right in, because we want to hear from you, especially about our first major investment that's coming up, and of course, if you need the information on how you go to that website, Brother Harris will give it to you again, and then, of course, you can send it to New Africa, NABASSC@gmail.com. You can send us an email, and you need to send us an email anyway so you can we can keep you on our mail out, so whatever programs we have coming up on a weekly basis, we will be able to inform you of our topics and our discussions. But like I said, we certainly would appreciate your memberships. But right now, our mics are still open, and if you can hear us, we can hear you, and we certainly are interested in your conversations. And at this point, I am going to turn it over to one of our other directors, which would be Sam Harris and Sister Aisha. You guys will comment after our listeners give their comments. So right now, mm-hmm. our listeners, we open it right back mm-hmm. up to you. If you have any comments, we welcome your comments.
Thank you very much, Brother Bilal. Good evening, everyone, once again. And thank you to our guests, Ms. V. Decatur and Mr. Sam Harris. And I assume, Mr. Harris, you're still with us? Are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Aisha, I'm still with you.
Very good. I'm on your website. And this is my second time on your site. It's a very, of course, impressive site. And there are so many areas that you are involved with, and I see that one of them is that you have a page on disaster recovery. And there's a lot to be said for groups who are taking climate change disaster seriously. Here at Black Belt Wall Street, here at Black Belt Wall Street, we are concerned on the preparedness, at the preparedness stage, because we know that preparedness can help mitigate the impact of the storm when it comes to the recovery. And the recovery
absolutely.
We have friends. I was talking to some folks down in Louisiana who was involved with that horrific horrific hurricane, what, about 5 years ago, and they are still struggling. They are still displaced, and they are struggling to come back. They do not feel that they will ever get back in the same economic position that they were before they had Katrina. But, however, you know, they are struggling. They also recognize that the market value of their properties was never realized when it came to getting payoff on their property from the storm. And so they lost tremendously. And it took sometimes two and three generations for the African-American family to get on their feet financially, and their biggest asset was their property. I think you would agree with the
absolutely.
Houses that they had. And so this is
devastating
devastating to the African American and the low income community. And I applaud you for having a page on disaster recovery on your site. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
yes, ma'am. And Sister Aisha, one of the things that with the disaster recovery, I'm so glad you brought that up. When the storm hit Selma, I mean, the city was level in so many places. There was over $30 million of disaster recovery monies allotted by the federal government. But there were no African-American businesses that got any of that money because they don't have the disaster preparedness or equipment that they own in place to take advantage of it. And that's why it's so important for us to start investing into those type of resources, because every year we're going to have those type of events. But we can't participate in the economics of it because we don't own these large disaster recovery companies, whether it be tree trimming companies or people that deal with, you know, the food or the housing or just, you know, infrastructure. One company in Alabama got the contract, and they don't look like us.
Well, I can believe that. And that is the situation that exists, I'm understanding, throughout the U.S. And most of the devastation, I constantly tell people that one thing about climate change disasters, it does not discriminate. It would land on my mm-hmm. doorstep the same way that storm would land on someone who is of another ethnic group. However, what
That's
does
right.
discriminate is the recovery stage, because the injustice occurred many, many years ago when our mm-hmm. neighborhoods were developed in a flood zone. So that injustice that occurred many years ago is what causes the disaster recovery stage to be so unjust. And we don't
That's
have
correct.
All the documentation, and we don't have the wherewithal to get into this game. And I call it a game because in many cases it is. And if people are developing more strategies of how they can stay in this game of recovery and the total disaster game. So we
Absolutely.
Have to look at this a little differently. And it's important for me, and I know for Black Belt Wall Street, for us to be associated with your company as well as Sister V's, the work that she's doing. And so, yes, we know that we need to develop this resource network. And if we can start putting your name and your company's name and what you do, what you can contribute to the network, this is how we'll get started. And and this can go all over the country. But I agree with you. We all have got to come together and bring our resources. So my question is to you, have you ever considered or would you consider resources that originate from outside of the country?
Absolutely. Right now, we absolutely would, because we have to connect the diaspora. And we got, you know, people in the Caribbeans and people in Africa that need our help, but they have resources. So if we're able to work with them, not only build here, but we can also build in those other places as well. So absolutely.
Okay. Yes, but I was also thinking about the multinational financial institutions in the world, the banking institutions and the financial investment institutions. Are you receptive to talking to people like that in those groups?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay. Because if we can't get the money from our people, if our people don't wake up and bring their money on board to these projects and to this type of investment, because we can't rely on just putting our money into a savings account anymore and expect to have a nice, healthy amount in 15,
right,
20 years. We must start thinking about investments. And there are other opportunities that we as a community, for the most part, we have not been exposed to, but they are available, and perhaps down the road we can make a company like yours familiar with these types of investments. So we look forward to doing just that. So I want to open the mics up to any other question our guests might have and talk about a little bit about what has happened recently in Canada with the storms, a little bit about disaster preparedness. And you all know that there are millions of dollars allocated to disaster preparedness, but it is not coming down into our communities. We have not come together as a group of people to be identified as working on preparedness and becoming prepared. Our faith-based institutions have not come together. Our community organizations, our sororities, they have not come together to say we are going to prepare our constituent base or our membership for these disasters. And we're going to come together as one body seeking the financial resources from the federal government to take care of our communities. And this is nationwide. This is the level we must start moving on. We have fraternities, we have sororities, and we have all kinds of organizations. But we must start moving on the level where we're united. And I think this is echoing the same thing that Mr. Harris said earlier. So do we have any people who are listening who can say, I'll talk to my national organization? I hear my echo.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
All right, that was me. I was putting gas in the car. I left the phone there. Sorry about that.
Okay. So we need our people to start saying to us on this radio show that I will talk to my sorority, or I will talk to the head of our national organization of imams or our church organizations, and we will come together. We will talk to them about coming together and solidifying so we can go as a unified group for the funds that are available for recovery and the funds that are available for preparedness. This is where we have to go, and this is what we are pushing to do. Do you know that if we can prepare 1,000 people with the training in disaster preparedness, that's what we do, and we can put that in our proposal project, it means a great deal more than if it's one or two organizations going for recovery funds or preparedness funds. And this is the kind of unification
Absolutely.
We have And the other groups are solidifying. They are getting together. The national organizations have come together for some of these other groups. And so they just don't have hundreds. They have thousands of affiliates that they can say, this is our constituent base, and we are preparing them. And so they
just
But not us, because we aren't coming together. So I would like to challenge anyone who's listening to us tonight, come on this show and tell us who your organization represents. The name of your organization, who do you represent? And let us appeal to them to come together as one group with us, with the rest of us, and the ones that we bring forth, so we can move forward. So we open our mic for any discussion.
Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
So one point on the storms and the situation in Canada. I often talk about storms in one part of the country. They have consequences in other parts of the country. And the data came out many years ago that storms can have consequences over 1,000 miles. Well, that has changed. We know that if we are having issues with the air quality in North Carolina and New York and other places as a direct result of the storms in Canada. Well, Canada is over 1,800 miles from North Carolina, where I am, almost 1,900 mm-hmm. miles. So that debunks that 1,000-mile theory that was put out there many years ago. So what's happening in Canada is affecting us in North Carolina, but also the people in New York, the people in South Carolina, in different parts of the Southeast. So whatever news report that we see for one part of the United States, North America, trust me, it's going to happen to other parts. It's going to have its impact on our lives. So whether we think we're not involved in that storm, that bad weather in Canada, we are directly, because it's impacting us. We had a cold red warning here not to go outside. Our school kids could not go outside today. People with asthma could not go outside. Cold red warning. And that is in Canada. That happened in Canada. So we have to constantly be vigilant and recognize that we are one people, one earth. And what happens to one part of it will affect people and the topography in the other part of the earth. We're just one earth. So these are the issues that we have to talk about, and these are the issues that we talk about in our training. And we will start training classes again in a few weeks, but hopefully we can do it differently, where institutions are bringing their affiliates, their constituent base. So we can say that in the year 2023, we were successful in seeing tens of thousands of people in the underserved community, especially, who are prepared for a natural disaster. Now, that's meaningful, and that's going to take us a long way. So are there any
other
comments from our audience?
Again, our mics are open. Listeners, we're going to take a quick moment. One of our sponsors who have paid for the show this month, and of course this is something you can also do as a business person, let's go to a sponsor break who has paid for our show for this month. And this is her commercial.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And again, welcome back to the show. Any of you who wish to do commercials on our radio show, and we can tell you right now, we have listeners of about that come on the broadcast with us, and we are totally full tonight. So we have listeners of over 300. But when it comes to our website, then those who are coming in on the web is coming in from all over the world. And I am going to go back to Sister Aisha, and she'll give you some of the statistics on some of our listeners. So, Sister Aisha, I'm going to turn it right back over to you.
Well, you know, interesting, we have, and it's exciting, we have listeners from many places in the world. Of course, the United States, 62% of our listeners are here in the U.S. The next country, Zimbabwe, has 23% of our listeners. Isn't that amazing? There's Canada, Russia, France, Tanzania, India, Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Ghana, Tunisia, Portugal, the UK, and Ireland. And those are the countries that are tuned in tonight as well. So that's over 15 identified points of reference for our show. And now, maybe some more have started listening, and we know that when we check the data. But these are people that we have. And so we often wonder, especially with the people in Zimbabwe, who are 23% of our listeners from Zimbabwe, and we have over 350 listeners at any one time. And we often wonder, what are they thinking about our show? But they are quite consistent. And so your ad, that Sister Karima's ad, they heard it tonight. And
all
also,
over
Brother Sam, they heard your appeal tonight and the great work that you are doing, as well as Ms. V.
That's right.
So this is no small effort. This is an effort that has taken place over a period of 6 to 8 years. I understand, Brother Bilal. It's no small effort, and I think because of longevity, people can see that this is rock solid, and that by the grace of God, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here, and we're going to hopefully bring about a little more unification amongst the different organizations so we can go further. We have to go, and we have to ring the doorbells of the federal agencies and many philanthropic organizations with our numbers, not just with our individual plan. So
now,
this
Sister,
is what we are trying to do.
Sister Aisha, I do want to bring to the audience attention and see if we have anyone on our station that is a part of a international business trade. I know there was quite a few that was going to be coming on, and this is going to be if they're not on tonight, they will be coming on in the near future, because we have quite a few of these countries that have been that you were just talking about. Many of them now are talking about having to asking us to come to their country to do business. And, of course, there are some countries that are even saying not only to do business, but dual citizenship. So if we have any of our international business spokespersons on with us, we would certainly like to hear from you if you're with us. So our mics are open, and if you're with us, we'd like for you to introduce yourself.
So do we have any of our friends from the International Business Trade Group on tonight? So if we don't, we know that we are, yes, was there someone? If we do not, we know that we are very active. There are many people within our community, our African-American community, who are engaged in international business. And this is where we can go. We can go into this arena as well. And as we move into the international business, we want to become more knowledgeable, the best way to do that. And, of course, foreigners who do come into the U.S., they have, the ones that I have encountered in the past, they are quite versed in the ways of international banking and the ways to come into customs, freight forwarding, and all of those things. And this is what we have to understand, the best way to do it. And unfortunately, we are finished with the U.S. Patriot Act. And we don't have to worry about that, the strength of the KYC, you know your customer. And that was a big, it restrained a lot of international business, especially on a small scale, because most of the companies were not able to pay for those certifications or for those inspections on their product. So if we have anyone from the international business trade arena, please let us know. Okay, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz.
Yes. All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Look, go right ahead, brother.
Yes.
This is Brother Marin Mukmin out in Fort Washington, Maryland. Your station, your program has been very informative. Let's keep the addresses and get this business started. Get it going because we all need it.
Brother, we appreciate
thank you,
you
there,
Brother
Marin.
Yes,
again, brothers and sisters, again, we're making our first major investment. And we're, like I said, we're looking forward to making these investments in many, many different states and areas. But right now, Selma, Alabama is where we know that, I'm telling you, it's a gold mine down there. But again, you have to get involved and find out for yourself. So, Brother Sam, we're going to bring it back to you because, like I said, this is our first major investment, and I think Brother Harris, like he was saying, there is a property that has been proposed to us, but again, we can't get those properties unless we move on it because even though someone may want us to own the properties, if we can't come together and buy those properties, then the investors from the outside of our communities, they will certainly come in and buy those properties. So, Brother Sam, I'm going to come back to you, and hopefully we can get the investors that we need, and I will certainly be on the website and hear the proposal. And I will be looking forward to seeing if I can. can only speak for myself that I would be making an investment. But the first thing is hearing the investment proposal. So, Brother Harris, I'm gonna come right back to you.
Brother Harris, I have a question. Did you mention the size of the acreage for that property before I came on? Brother Sam, are you still with us?
Sam,
He didn't mention the size.
What was the size of it?
No, he did not mention it. He didn't describe it other than it was just a building next to theirs, a property already acquired.
But he will be sending information over to us, unless those of you who may have written down his information, but he will be sending that information to me. I should have it tomorrow, and I will be sending it out to all of our listeners, but if you're not on our email list, please send us your email and send it to nabassc@gmail.com. nabassc@gmail.com. And we're going to seek what our first major investment proposal is looking like. So, with that said, Sister Rachel, did you have any more comments you want to make on your program? And if not, Brother Aziz, we're opening our mics up, and anyone who wants to make any comments in general. So,
I would just simply like to say that we understand from other day that 2%, over 2% of the African Americans over the age of 65 now live in poverty, close to 3% compared to 1% of non-African Americans, Caucasian. And poverty is the largest, the strongest predictor of homelessness. And we're seeing the homeless population steadily increase. And if we as African Americans, and we represent 13% of the general population in America, but we represent 39% of people experiencing homelessness. So, and over half of these homeless families are families with children. We see more children on the streets now. And this imbalance that we're experiencing is not getting better, it's getting worse. So we as the people, we're going to have to take care of ourselves and take care of our people. And we don't have the resources, at least the resources is not visible, where we can do anything with this homeless population. We are totally reliant on social services and other agencies and other Pluto type to put money on the table. And these people who are homeless, the majority of them are in our communities. They're not across town. They're in our communities staring us in the face every day. We need to do something about this.
Yeah.
And there was a time in our history that we came together. You know, we came together as communities, especially during the time of segregation. We didn't have, when we had storms in our communities or when we needed water, we didn't have fire hydrants in our communities. So the fire department couldn't come to our communities and open the fire hydrants for our people to get water because we didn't even have fire hydrants. But we knew how to come together as a community and save ourselves and save our neighbors. So we're going to have to do it again, folks, or we're going to perish, I do believe. So what is preventing us from doing this, from coming together and recognizing that we're in a crisis situation. We're in a crisis situation because we know we are not going to be able to change climate change in our lifetime. We also know that our economics every day is getting worse and worse. Prices are going up. It's costing us more to survive every day, and we do not have the backing. But if we come together as a people, as a group of people, we can support each other. And, yes, I think it's a wonderful thing with Mr. Harris and this project in Selma, Alabama, there we're going to look, by the grace of Allah, at resources that we can bring to the table to help with these issues. If there is land to be got, we as African-American people need to be getting it.
That's right, yeah.
And whatever we have that we can invest, and some of us can invest and some of us cannot invest, but we should do so.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Very important.
Yeah. I wanted to say that, you know, Sister Aisha, when I came back from overseas in 1969 from Vietnam, I came to Washington, D.C. I was stationed at a right out in Virginia, close to base, close. And I had never seen anybody sleeping on the streets because where I came from down south in Alabama, small country town and that Mobile, Alabama and all that, you know, people, they lived in houses, whether they was raggedy or not, just homelessness was not allowed in the public face like it was when I came to Washington, because I'm saying this is the nation's capital, and I see people sleeping on the streets, sleeping on, you know, they had on the news a guy got evicted from sleeping under the steps of the Capitol building, the Capitol, because it was too cold out, and it was one of these extreme winters they were having in Washington back in the early 70s, and here it is, a person getting evicted. So this homeless situation has been going on for a long time, and I think the same humanity and helpfulness that you experienced, or I experienced, Brother Bilal and others that were born during our time period, we experienced it where, and as you said, African-Americans collectively help one another, even if it was just one person loaning another person a cup of sugar, a cup of flour. It's just, you wouldn't let your neighbors go to pot. We always helped. We helped, helped, helped. And I think that's one of the things that we are striving to do here at the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, trying to get, you know, our people to help one another to in many ways, because what we have now, as Brother Bilal said earlier, we have these experts. And I think the Sister V. Carter that came on, what she was proposing a little different from Brother Sam Harris, saving people's homes and houses and properties right away is very important, because when you do that, the first thing you're doing is saving families from, you know, being out on the street. You're stopping some homelessness, as well as, you know, like you said, they can get back control of their properties and be able to sell by owner. And the owner can, you know, make some profit, some finance, make some profit off it, as opposed to not getting anything out of it. If it's just floor calls and you're put out and you don't have a lawyer to represent you or anything. So it's good that the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association do have these type of experts that's a part of it, wherein people can come to New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association and get the much-needed advice that we need. And I just wanted to put that part out there, because what we have is fantastic, and I hope we can keep this up, you know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Nazi. I want to tell you that it was in 1969 that the homeless, we saw the homeless population situation in Washington, D.C. And the biggest cause of it was when St. Elizabeth Hospital in that area, which was the mental illness hospital, closed down.
Yeah.
It closed down. Mm. And I remember so distinctively, I left the country to spend six more weeks over in Africa. And when I returned to Washington, D.C., I could not believe what I was seeing. I saw all of these homeless people sleeping on the sidewalk, on the curb. And that was amazing to me. It was not that way when I left. But when I, after 6 weeks away, when I came back, I saw all of this. So, but the mental institutions closed down in this country, the large ones. And St. Elizabeth was a huge mental hospital. So those people had to go someplace. So they put them in the van. Literally, they put the people in the van, rode them around the corner, stopped the van, and opened the door and told them to get out. And so people have been sleeping on the streets in droves in the U.S. Of course, I was used to seeing homelessness sleep on the street in the developing countries. But I was shocked, and I said, my goodness, Washington, D.C. looks like the developing country that I just left. You know, there was no difference.
Yeah.
So if the brother from Fort Washington, brother, are you still online? It's the
brother Marion.
The brother from
Brother Marion.
Yeah.
I think Brother Marion, he just came on for a moment.
Yes, this is Brother Mary. How are you, brother? I just want to let you know it was good to hear your voice and hear the word Fort Washington. We used to live there. My kids went to Indian Queen. Is it still there?
I don't think so. They built a new elementary school out here.
New Queen, huh? No new. Okay. Well, my kids was in the elementary school at Indian Queen, but that's a beautiful part of Maryland to live in.
Yes, indeed. And this that we're putting out is very informative. Let's keep it up. Let's be strong in every way. Let's just keep on. Let God bless us to get this thing going. You know. And I wish I could put more emphasis in that, but it just the brother gave me his card last weekend, and it was just so informative. I just had to tune in tonight and give you all your props that this is good. Okay.
Thank you very much, brother.
Yes, ma'am. Well, yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. So with that, I'm gonna go ahead and mix a lot. But yet still, it's just that I want y'all to keep it going, okay?
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you very much.
And come back.
Don't leave us by ourselves. Please do come back.
No. Yes. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna help you all I can. All I can is with.
Thank you very much.
Whatever.
All right. Doc here.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
All right. Well, appreciate it.
Something like a...
Well, it's Muslim. Thank you.
Again, this is the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We're on every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. We see that most of our audience are probably going to watch the basketball game. I know it was going to lose quite a few. And so we look forward to it. But the biggest thing is, like I said, we're being very proactive from here on in. We either going to do it or we're not. And so our first large investment is going to be coming up this this in the next few days. And to find out more about it, send us an email or give us a call. Our number here is 301-234-9090. 202-288-5660 202-903-7278. And we're going to go into our closing mode. Brothers and sisters, like I said, I'll just use our slogan, what our business slogan is, and that is what one of us can do, the many of us can. And if we was to go by just that slogan of what one of us can't do, the many of us can, you will find that our African American nation, and not African American nation, but our international investments would all be extremely valuable. So until next week, this time, Brother Ais or Sister Aziz, any closing remarks you two want to make? We'll make them and close down for the evening.
I did. It was a question for Sister Aisha, and that was in her disaster preparation and all that, what would she think we would do about this smoke damage that's taking place across the country right now? Well, on the East Coast right now.
There is nothing for us to do other than to stay in. We are experiencing a red alert, and it says stay indoors as much as possible. Don't let the children out, and the public school system is complying with that. But once again, that's over 2,000 miles away. So we are, throughout America, we are facing the consequences of the storms that are directly on us, as well as the consequences of the storms over 2,000 miles away. We are one country, one nation. And so...
Yeah.
This is the new reality, and we need to be prepared. And there are some things. We need to know the alerts. We need to know what they mean. And this is what we are talking about in the training. There's so much to tell you about how to survive. And we're talking about basic survival here. You know, we're talking about surviving so you'll end up in a disaster recovery. But first you got to survive. And everything starts at the beginning, and that's preparedness.
Yes, thank you.
So hopefully I answer your question, brother.
Yes,
you
did.
And
thank you.
We need you to continue to answer that question on a weekly basis because you're probably saving a lot of lives by those who are listening. I know you're saving lives listening to you. So,
That's right.
So we appreciate you, and that's why we come on.
And I appreciate you all.
Thanks.
If it wasn't for you all's determination over all of these years, you wouldn't hear my voice. You all are the ones that kept this going.
Thank you.
I'm a newcomer to the block here.
Well, we definitely appreciate those words. With those words, we can come on years as up for another week, another month, another year.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking for Brother Aziz as I say that. Brother Aziz, let me close the room.
That was all, Brother Bilal, other than the fact that I want to thank everyone we had participated in the group today, and I'm glad to hear that Sister Aisha is doing better. I'm thankful that she's doing better and back with us because she's such an important part of our show. So I'm glad to hear you back, Sister Aisha, and
Thank you.
And I hope our audience, you're welcome. And our audience should have loved the show tonight because it was very informative. And Brother Sam Harris, if he's still listening, we want to thank him, too, for this presentation. And we hope that some of our listeners can, have heard this, can participate and take advantage of the investment. So thank you, Brother Bilal.
And with that said, brother, I'm going to say good evening.
If you had a choice
of
colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
My brothers.
If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother?